Hello, everyone. In today's episode, we talk wearables. The good, the bad, and the technologically unbelievable. Please enjoy.
Welcome to the Perfect Workout Podcast, where fitness meets simplicity. I'm Kyle Recchia, CEO of the Perfect Workout. I'm joined by Jim Keane, our Director of Training. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Welcome back, everybody. Here we are, back in Austin, Texas.
Back again.
Yep. We tried to get away, but it just keeps sucking us
just
in.
It just wasn't the same.
Yeah.
It wasn't the same.
It's really exciting. Actually, this is our new, hope you guys like it, our new podcast studio. For those that are listening to podcasts, not watching YouTube, this is meaningless. but we are opening a new location here in a few weeks in Tarrytown, which is super cool. And we happen to have a little podcast space here. So we were just talking, it would be really cool to get some members in here and do some of their stories and stuff with us.
Now that we have a local spot that we can kind of hunker down, start inviting people in, have some guests. It's going to be a good time.
It'd be awesome. But we're not doing that today. Today,
yeah, you're stuck with us today.
So let's talk about some more topics that we've gotten questions on. So here's one. We'll see, you know, how deep we can go here, but this comes up pretty frequent. This idea around wearables. And I think the question is, okay, if I can have a wearable, which wearable should I have? Are they all equal? And then specifically, and I can kind of cue this up after we just go into some of the wearable stuff. A lot of these wearables are now trying their best to integrate AI.
Right.
They're trying their best to integrate scores, and the scores are supposed to help you. And there's some mixed feelings on this. And so, as always, we're going to dive into this a little bit, and the answers might be somewhat, it depends, but you want to kick us off on wearables?
Yeah. No, nothing matters. Nothing works. with the wearables, the instinct is correct. I want to quantify something. So when you are improving yourself and when you're improving something about your biology, one of the best ways to do it is to acquire objective information. So you can say, I think I feel better. I started doing this and I think I feel better. I started doing this and, you know, it seems like I feel, it seems. These types of words are subjective and these are fine as far as they go. But then at a certain point, you get an objective thing. Like I'm one hole smaller on my belt.
Mm-hmm.
Objective. Good. This was that hole. A month ago, now it's this hole on the belt. Great. Even just weighing yourself on a scale. These are early low-tech ways to quantify.
Right.
But now we have all sorts of technology and smaller component parts that allow for greater and greater complexity and quantification. And the granular nature of it is becoming such that we now need AI to deal with all this raw data and make it make sense. The challenge becomes, it's like your reach exceeds your grasp. Like the Jurassic Park, the scientists were so preoccupied with figuring out whether or not they could, they never stopped to consider whether or not they should.
Right.
And so we have all this data that we can now capture, but why? How come? Make it meaningful. How do we make this meaningful? So you mentioned the scores. And so I've had an Oura Ring since 2018, I believe.
Yeah, I've got mine on here.
Yep. And so all these different scores, all these different metrics. And these days, I only ever wear it at night to track sleep. I don't so much care about during the day. I did for a while. But those weren't really needle movers for me. So me personally, I don't even care about the scores anymore. I want time in bed because I'm terrible at trying to remember when I got to sleep. So time in bed and heart rate. That's basically all I track because those are meaningful. They have downstream effects, dominoes that fall that lead to the results that I want. So if I can get to bed sober, oh, great. My resting heart rate's going to be 49, 50. Great. Give my heart a break. Nervous system resets. Everything's good. But then I notice, you know, I have a cocktail at dinner and wine afterwards, and it's up high 50s, low 60s, that type of thing. Or time in bed. Matt Walker, the sleep study guru, he talks about sleep opportunity. And so I have all this data available to me, and all I care about is time in bed,
mm-hmm.
which I could just write it on a notepad as I went to bed and then write it when I got up, and my heart rate, which I could check, you know, whenever. So why is that? And I think a lot of people have the Whoops and the Garmins and the Auras and all these things, and they track a bunch of stuff. And it's very similar to, I'd mentioned this in a previous episode, there are certain types of people who learn more and more about less and less until finally they know everything about nothing. And so if you have 20, 30, 40 different things you're tracking, which one's the needle mover? They can't all be the thing upon which you rest your hat. So you have to make sense of it as a human. I need to major in the majors. What are the three maybe needle movers that are giving me the most bang for my buck? And that's the issue a lot of the wearable companies are running into with the AI thing. Because the AI can do that, but then you find, I feel horrible, but it says I'm doing great. I feel great, but it says I'm doing horrible.
Right.
And then you end up with one of the reasons I stopped looking at it until midday, how I slept the previous night, was because I was experiencing, and many people also have, a nocebo effect. Though everyone knows about the placebo effect.
You're going to have a bad day today because you didn't sleep.
I wake up and, oh, my readiness is a 60. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. And then my whole nervous system, okay, you got it, boss.
Yeah.
We're not good today.
We've talked about, actually, on that topic, I can't remember the name of the book, and I probably said this exact thing in a prior episode. So if Ben, help me find this if we need to later.
Yeah, it bears repeating, I'm sure.
Yeah. But there's a great book done a few years ago. I think you saw this person at the Rec Conference with me. She was talking about research on recovery. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it's sort of like back to 101 here. You need to sleep. That works the most.
Right.
And then when it comes to are you recovered, it's just how you feel that day. And to your point, I think you're not alone in saying many people will see, hey, you might not want to train today because you're not recovered. And then you're like, I do feel good and I feel like training. The other point here is, and I know we're deep down the rabbit hole, I'm going to pull us back out in a second and kind of go to some of these more macro topics on wearables, but is it's trying its best to learn whether or not you are better or worse from some future point at, when you started this thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or some past point when you started this thing. So, you know, in my experience, if you started this on the best day ever, you're going to get lower scores. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If you started on a really bad day, it's always like, wow, you know, your heart rate wasn't 60.
Yeah, you started to get back from that better for a week, and
yeah,
you're doing great.
So,
wow.
Because other people can have some of the same biometric outputs, and they'll have different scores from the person next to them, and how does it know? Well, it only knows because it's like, this must be your baseline, and this is where you're training over time. So anyways, back to the top here, it's like, what you're talking about is, it's kind of nuanced, like we just said. What people are looking for, I think, overall with these things is that it helps them get to the outcomes they want, right?
Right.
And it's a spectrum. I mean, I think if you're in the military and you're literally focused on optimizing your VO2 and these sorts of things,
mm-hmm.
or if you're really training for some sort of big event like a triathlon, you can look at these subtle changes and improvements on things in the heart rate, et cetera, from your Garmin that might be more important. But most of our members, including probably you and myself, we're not doing those things.
Right.
And so are wearables important or are they not? I mean, I'm having this conversation with you. I'm wearing a Garmin watch. I've got the Oura Ring on.
Right.
And I think the important part there, and we can talk about which ones might be most convenient, is what you talked about earlier. It's really when you're creating a habit, having the feedback that helps you understand whether or not you're on track can be really important.
Yeah.
So even if you already know, even if you're writing it down on paper, et cetera, even if you already know, oh, I'm trying to sleep better, and you just have one convenient place you can open up, it's like, yes, you've been going to bed consistently on time or you haven't, can be great. I think James Clear talks a lot about, too, when you get into habits, like rewards are much stronger than negative feedback.
Yeah, the carrot is tastier than the stick hurts.
Yeah, so what I like to think about is, sure, it's frustrating when it says, like, you're not recovered, you shouldn't run today, and my vote is if you feel recovered, go do your thing. On the same side of the coin, though, is a lot of times if you set a goal in these devices, I want to do this every day, and you do it, you get that cool positive feedback.
Right.
Until it becomes more of a habit. So they are useful.
Yeah, it's useful. I think it's the most useful as a model. So a model is like, it's not literally true, but if we think about it like this, we'll get the result we want. Like the map is not the territory. But if you follow the map, you could get where you're going in real life. And even though you just have a map, you're not stepping, that's not the land. But if you follow it, you'll get where you're going. So if I take as a goal to get a higher and higher readiness score or sleep score, yeah, that may or may not positively affect my health. And it may not be dead accurate as far as exactly what's happening in my biology. But using that as a model, high sleep score, good, and that as a goal, my behavior will increase my health. I'll get to bed earlier with less interruption, and I'll get to bed with more time in between my last bite of my dinner and when my head hits the pillow so that I can digest so I can get a better sleep score. I'm going to have one fewer drink so I can get a better sleep score. And it's not about the sleep score. It's about my physiology. So I think they're very useful as accountability trackers, and then also to help you remember the wins.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people, you can adapt to anything. So you could do a streak of 30 days and you might feel like, oh, I feel pretty good. Yeah, I feel good. And you don't realize how proud of yourself you should be.
Right.
Wow, I got to bed at 9:30, 30 days in a row. That's huge. Mm-hmm. And without the wearable, who's tracking that? No one's tracking it, right? So it is good for that purpose, to help with accountability and help you track the wins and form a model that can be followed for the production of the beneficial results that we're wanting from our initiatives, whatever they are, to improve our health.
I love that. And, you know, humans are loss averse. And I agree with what you just said. Over time, as you've created these habits, as you've started to see those wins and you've felt it and you've felt what it looks like, instead of going, yeah, I think I'm on track the last few months, you're like, right. No, I know exactly what it looks like and feels like to be on track. Whether that's the person trying to do these intense things and hit these records in their VO2, or it's the person that's just like, I just want to know if I'm going to bed on average at the same time for my circadian rhythm. Over time, if you're like me, the reason I'm still wearing these devices, even though I've got those habits and I could probably tell you what's going on with all those things without them, is now I don't want to lose the data. I've committed to it. I've
got your games.
Wins. Yeah.
So the games are so back in the day, like the memory cards and the PlayStation. Like, yeah, I got my game saved.
Exactly.
And that's what the apps are now, even for your tracking your nutrition or wearable data. The FastFit machines, like we have your game saved.
Right.
And so that is, I think they've been slowly conditioning us for decades to like have your game saved and have that be a valuable virtuous thing.
Yeah.
But it's true. I like to see where I've come from, and I like to see where I am, and then I can determine where I'm going. And so by doing all that, I have an accurate picture of the future.
Right.
And it's only when I can see all this data that I can rely on my choices to produce like results in the future. So it is nice to have your game saved and to see, you know, exactly, you have a receipt.
Right.
You know, I did this, by God.
And yeah.
Like, I made it happen. Yeah.
So I think the take here, there's two things. One, I will see if you agree with me on this. You should.
Okay. Yeah. You really should.
You really should.
Yeah.
How would you rank these devices? You know, there are people that study the accuracy of these things. Some are more accurate than others on certain elements. Some are more accurate on the other elements, like heart rate versus sleep versus, you know, deep sleep elements, et cetera. So we could talk about that in just a second. And then the second piece I want to get to is just kind of where are we headed with this stuff? Where are we headed with our app? Most of you guys know that we have an app. We are integrating things. We do track trends in your biometrics over time. We can track the trend of your sleep with any wearable. So I'll dive in there too. But first, when it comes to which device, I mean, my philosophy is the same as our total philosophy at the Perfect Workout. What's most out of the way so you can get the best, most efficient results you need? So I still tend to double down on the rings like Aura because you don't have to charge them very often. They're out of the way compared to like on the other side of the spectrum, you have an Apple Watch that dies every day, so to speak. The watch is very complicated in the sense that it can send you all kinds of information and notifications, which might be more stressful. And some of these rings are pretty basic, you know. Garmin, you know, I find to be somewhere in the middle because, yeah, it has those features and functions, but the batteries last a very long time. And they're also not trying to be a second phone on your wrist in your face all day. This is Kyle's bias answer because I've gotten this question a lot about wearables. So my bias answer would be, look at the rings. There's some great ones out there like Ultra Human right now that are no subscriptions.
Yep.
And you can start there. Do you have any other different feedbacks or take on that stuff?
Yeah, I think some of the important things to consider, and it goes back to that the Jurassic Park thing about should we even be doing this? One of the huge benefits of Aura, and I don't know if the other wearables can do this still, but the ability to turn it on airplane mode, it's next to your skin. And many people have reported with the Apple Watch, for example, that's a powerful, large radio frequency broadcaster and receiver right next to your blood. Mm. And so then your blood is irradiated and then travels throughout the rest of your body and has effects. And over time, it's not like you're going to keel over if you put it on. But over time, it does. It's like sleeping with your head next to a modem. We all understand, don't do that. Or your phone on your chest right next to your heart, and then you fall asleep like that or something, right? So we all understand, like, it's not deadly right now, like arsenic or something, but it could be carcinogenic if you put it right next to your blood, and then you just live like that. So the Aura ring, like, I only wear it at night, and then I put it on airplane mode at all times until it's time to pair and get the data.
Cool.
And as soon as I get the data dump, right back on airplane mode. So it's sensing information, but it's not broadcasting or receiving signal. It's just sensing information. So if your wearable can do that, cool. It's still, you know, the benefit outweighs any risk in that case, in my estimation. So I'd say with that under consideration, it's whatever is the most convenient for you. Like, what's the delivery system? Is it a wristband? Is it a ring? Is it a strap or on your torso? I've seen those. Is it something that goes in your shoe? Like, there's a million different ways to unobtrusively gather information. And so eventually we'll have like a little tiny drone that just follows you around and just scans everything. That'd be great. Yeah, the gym drone. And she's just like, no, that's my emotional ending. That's my emotional support drone. He's allowed to come on the bus with me. Right. Yeah, and I'll need a ticket for him.
Until then.
Yeah, until then, the ring. The ring is,
which one do? That's pretty cool.
So yeah, so I'd point that out as something to be considered.
Yeah, I love that. So yeah, I'll wrap this up with this sort of AI concept and question. You know, I think it's really cool when people talk about AI. At the end of the day, it's still like a future we haven't invented, so to speak. There's a lot of unknowns. And it's useful as a tool if it's helping you get those outcomes you want, like you just said.
Sure.
So everybody is in a race right now. A good example recently, there's a shareholder call with Garmin and their new AI feature, which I've tried on the watch, which is not good, in my opinion. Sorry, Garmin. And maybe it's because it's early and it's too soon.
I write a letter to Mr. Garmin about this. Yeah. Mr. Garmin, me again. You'll never believe what this guy's saying.
I still have your watch. I'm wearing it right here, okay? It's cool. But the AI piece, it feels like we're in a world right now where companies are like, we have to put AI into our stuff because we don't want to be behind. And at the same time, most of those times, you know, it's not going to end up being the case.
Sure.
So I've been asked, are we going to put AI in our app? We've actually spoken with people about AI. And the answer right now is just, I don't know. Because even these places like Garmin, et cetera, where they're putting these things in Aura, like Aura has an AI feature, the experience so far is either A, it's not very useful because people are so, we've talked about this before, biopsychosocial different in their needs, right?
Right?
There's too much stuff going on. And when you put those together with these scores, it's just not helpful for the individual themselves. Or it goes right back to the bell curve. Hey, great, we have all this information. You've been tracking all this stuff. Here's your very specific advice. Are you ready?
Right.
You should sleep, exercise, drink water.
I never thought about
it. Eat better. That. Yes.
AI is a miracle.
Some of the same outputs here. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Is this my great-grandmother, AI? Wow, you brought her back to life. She's telling me to go to bed early.
Yes, you can pick your own name on it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think we're going to continue to see how useful this stuff can be, and we're on the lookout for that stuff at the pre-workout too. But, you know, it's not something we plan to implement tomorrow. So long story short, wearables. They're useful.
Dig it.
We can dig it. We're into them. Need them to get results? You do not.
No.
Are they going to help you get better results? It depends. If you're really going to use it to track those habits, to feel the rewards of those habits over time, it's fantastic. At the same time, in our experience, you know, do they bring this huge enlightenment on these scores that help you optimize 7% better results because you're getting these sort of scores and these sorts of things? I don't think the data is there.
Right.
So,
right on. There you have it.
You
have it, folks.
All right. Well, we'll see you next time. And sorry if you're out buying a wearable, just enjoy it. And if not, you know, we just saved you some money and go enjoy a nice meal instead. See you soon, man.
Next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Perfect Workout Podcast. We hope you found today's episode inspiring and actionable. If you're ready to take the next step in your fitness journey, visit us at theperfectworkout.com for more resources or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could benefit. Together, let's make fitness simple, empowering, and a part of life well lived. See you next time.